Welcome to the Christian Indie Writers Podcast, where we inform, encourage, and support Christian Indie Writers on their journey toward publication. I'm Rhonda Hagerman, and I write fiction and nonfiction under the pen name Dee Dee Bowman with my mother. And I am so strong, and I will only be with you in spirit today.
Yeah. Jen.
You're quite like threw me off.
I did not think you had it. We teased you before we went live that we didn't think that you had it with you, but you do.
Yeah.
You came through. It's awesome.
Totally.
Yes. Sadly, we don't have the real Jennifer Carlton with us today, is what Rhonda was saying. So we have her substitute. Yes, who we love. We love you, Jen, and we hope that you could be with us next week. I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
And I'm Christina Catane, and I write Christian dystopian fiction.
Okay. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. And hopefully we will see Jen in the chat today. So yes. I hope you got to see her face on TV today.
Okay. Rhonda, do that microphone thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
All right. Great. Go
I was
for
chewing
it.
Right before that. Sorry. Okay. All right. So anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in and for everybody listening live. And thank you everybody who's listening on iTunes or any of the other podcast platforms. I don't know what they all are, but we have people out there.
We really appreciate it, right?
Yes.
It's really amazing to go in and look at those numbers. And we're like, look, this many people watched our episode, and we're always really surprised. People somehow stumble across us and find what we do and like it. Mm-hmm. So we just really appreciate all of y'all, whether you're watching or listening.
Yeah, for sure. I forget about the audio only podcasts. Because we're on YouTube. But anyway, so let's see. Anyway, if you are on YouTube or if you're on any of those other places, just go to the little buttons and like us and subscribe if you like what we're doing. We'd love to have you join our group.
Yeah, and share so we can grow.
We have some really exciting news, guys. We are releasing a book from the Christian Indie Writers Podcast.
What?
And it is called 30 Days of Writing Sprint Prompts, an instructional workbook to help you develop a daily writing habit.
Wow. That sounds wow, how do I get that? We're so bad at this.
You know, I had a whole script written and you guys totally missed it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that I could go into a lot of detail about what the book's about, but I think the title really says it all.
Yeah, because what we want to do is help everybody get a writing sprint habit going, right? Like that's right. Even why we're talking about writing sprints on our podcast episodes.
Right. So this is going to be a workbook to help you do that. And we are going to be looking for an advanced reader team. For those who don't know what that is, it's a group of readers who receive a free ebook in advance of publication in exchange for an honest review. And we do want you to be honest, because if all of our reviews are 5 stars, then we don't have as much legitimacy as if we have honest reviews.
Yeah, but if you go there and you only see 1 stars, throw us a bone and at least give us 2. Even if you have bad stuff to say, like, you know, can you nudge us a little?
Be kind of nice.
Yeah.
So we're going to be sending out the invitation to be on our art team through our newsletter. So if you haven't subscribed, I can't say that word, to our newsletter, you could go to ChristianIndieWriters.net. And sign up for our newsletter. And also, you'll get other freebies, episode reminders, and other news that we have. So go do that.
Awesome. Way to go, Bambina. Let everybody know all about our book. That's fabulous. But you got to sign up for that newsletter, because it's the only way we really know how to find out who's interested in being an advanced reader. Like, we brainstormed this, and we're so worried about having, like, emails over here and emails over there that we would lose. So we're going to be sending a specific link through our newsletter. So it's important that you sign up.
Thank you.
All right.
Fine.
Okay. Before we start our what's up, I want to say hi to some people in the chat.
Ooh.
Sage Bunny is here.
Yay.
Nice to see you. Maria, Gigi, Shell, everybody. Good to see you. I don't know if I missed
you. Wow, very active chat today. Oh, and Jen was able to pop into the chat. I hope she can stay.
Oh, we have a new chatter, Jen.
That's fun to have Jen in the chat.
Aw, how nice. Maybe she can share her what's up along with everybody else in the chat. But Jamie, why don't we start with your what's up for this week?
Okay, so putting a fitting end to the self-improvement course of geography, because I am only interested in self-improvement in spurts, I realize. I am hanging up the Learn Geography hat and closing this whole series of Where Do Our Listeners Live with Flint, Michigan, because that is where I was from before I moved to Florida. Now, I am originally from Sterling Heights, Michigan. Jason Marsh is from the Flint, Michigan area, as well as some other listeners who I know listen. Hello to you. You know who you are. They're just not active chatters. Flint, Michigan is a wonderful place to live. Believe it or not, not everybody has bad water. The city proper has very bad water issues, as Tina can attest to. But I live just outside of city limits where Formar Nature Preserve is. And there's also an excellent cultural center in Flint with a brand new planetarium. And I really hope all of that opens up again. The Buick Museum is right there, and also the Whiting. I really hope that our arts are going to come back strong and that everybody who is within the sound of my voice is a patron of the arts in Flint, Michigan, because y'all have a great cultural district there. And I encourage everyone to check it out. That's my what's up, Rhonda. What's up with you?
Can I also add that the the Buick Museum you mentioned, called the Sloan Museum, they also have one of the largest genealogy societies housed there also.
Really?
It's called the Perry Archives and the Flint Genealogy Society, one of the largest in actually the United States.
So. Wow, that's awesome, Rhonda. That's another tip. So if you're into the genealogy, head on over there. And they've got so many cool cars in that Buick Museum. There's just so much to see right in that little itty-bitty part of Flint. It's really a neat place to visit.
Yeah, because the auto industry started right just 2 blocks away from there.
So. And what is that house that you can go to right there? And you can somebody famous used to live in it.
Oh, Applewood. Applewood.
C.S. Monmouth. He was also an auto executive.
Yeah, yep. You can browse the grounds there. They're beautiful gardens. It's so lovely to go
there. You can go on a tour of the house, too. My husband and I did that. It was really fun.
And as long as we're talking about fun things to do, Huckleberry Junction is not very far from Flint proper in Genesee. And the Huckleberry Railroad is there. They have Thomas the Train come in, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So Flint, Michigan is actually a great place to live. Yes, we do have water and other issues, but I really wanted to give a big shout out to Flint, Michigan. What's up with you today, Rhonda?
Let's see. Today, I'm going to do some garage sailing after I'm done with the podcast.
Ooh,
today.
Fun!
I have a couple things that I really would like to get for the house, and I'm excited. It's absolutely a gorgeous day. I'm going to get some more gardening done today, try to get things wrapped up here. I have had some problems with my wrist this year, and so my gardening season has been terrible, but today I'm going to try to soak up all the sun I can.
I don't blame you. Get out there
before
and get in
it. Before the snow flies.
I know, hey, which will probably be tomorrow.
I see Jen's what's up in the chat. I wasn't sure what she wanted to share, but she is saying, I'm sitting in the hospital room with the hubs. Yeah, her husband had some medical emergency. Prayers are appreciated, although he's feeling much better, according to Jen. And Mike get to go home tomorrow. Hooray! Got to get a lot of work done here on the podcast book, so that was good. Yeah, you know how there's just interminable waiting for tests. Jen was so happy to have the book to distract her there. So we're glad to hear Randy's on the mend, and we're all praying for him. What else is going on in the chat, Tina?
Let me see.
Gigi. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Maria Johnson says, my what's up, mixed couple of weeks. Editing has gone okay, but newsletter stuff has been tricky.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't realize I needed my own custom domain website.
Oh,
been
Maria.
Pre-plan till now, so I had
to
buy.
Maria, I feel you. I feel you so much with the surprises. Maria, I am with you. Solidarity, sister. Am I wrong, Rhonda? Was I not complaining about all the little things that pop up when you're trying to get this stuff up and running, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Major solidarity, Maria. Good for you, because I know you're struggling. I know it's hard. Keep working. I've noticed a difference in your social media engagement, so it's going to pay off. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other, Maria.
Yeah, I actually was reading an article yesterday that said that you should, when you have one book out, you should not give up advertising and trying to get your list going until at least a year. It takes at least a year. And don't give up until you have more than 10,000 subscribers. Like, once you get to 10,000, like, you don't have to advertise anymore. It just kind of
takes care of it. Thank you for giving me a goal. Now I have a goal. I appreciate that. So 10,000 is the magic number. Is that
what you're saying? 1 year of advertisements and 10,000 subscribers. That's your goal.
Awesome.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay. And Gigi says, what's up? I secretly put up a Christmas tree downstairs. My husband found it. I don't know if I can read this.
Keep it a secret. Keep it a secret.
Well, the earliest I have ever done this, but my grandbabies are planning a trip home.
Aww. Aww. That's so cute.
Grandbabies. Aww.
Lovely. Yeah. I was at co-op yesterday and there was all these little like 4-year-old boys. I was like, I loved 4 years old. Oh, grandbabies are going to be such a blessing. Good for you, Gigi.
Okay. Then we have Jason.
Oh, you got to put what Jen said.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Gigi, you beat me. Don't let Rhonda see your what's up. Too late.
Yep.
Okay, Jason Marsh, my what's up today? Helping decorate and set up for my brother's wedding.
Oh, everybody's nice. Decorating. Your brother's getting married. Congratulations!
It's tomorrow, and he did word sprints every day this week.
You did not shut the front door. I am impressed. That's good because you are just going to become a better writer.
And Jennifer's telling Maria to let her know if she needs any newsletter help. She's no expert, but she's willing to help. And she is very, very helpful.
She is very helpful. Yes. And as Rhonda just sang, newsletter chat is there to help everybody. Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, we stream it right from our Facebook page, although we are not super big about reminding people or telling people. So hopefully you can go and watch them all. They're just sitting there on our Facebook page. So if you miss it Tuesday at 8, no biggie. But if you can come and chat just like this chat right here, we can help you with your questions. You might be like, but what should I put in my newsletter, Jamie or Jen? And one of us will be able to help you. Sometimes it's Tina. Who knows? Just come to newsletter chat and we'll do all the newsletter stuff. Tuesdays at 8.
Okay. And so Shell's what's up is getting close to the finish on my short story, Sprinting Elves. No, I just need to now. I think she meant now. Now I just need to do sprinting every day. And then
if
Jennifer
only there was a tool for her.
Replied, I know of a workbook to help with that.
Seriously, because we were like, ladies, we want to help our listeners build a habit of doing this. That's the whole point of putting 30 in there, right?
Right.
Right. So should we jump into like the topic?
Well, I have to do my what's up.
Oh, Tina, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, just forget about me, Jamie.
I know. I'm so sorry.
And things are getting really exciting right here. This past week, I received my proof copy, like actual bound books.
Oh,
in the mail.
No, it was so exciting.
So Jamie and I filmed the unboxing, but I'm not sharing it until after tomorrow because tomorrow I am revealing my book cover in my newsletter.
Dun, 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 dun.
If you want to see that in my newsletter, you have to sign up at ChristinaCatane.com. And there's going to be a link in there. Because I am going to be looking for ARC readers, and I'm just waiting on my interior to be formatted, and I can get those out to people. Mm-hmm. So it's really close. So sign up for my newsletter, and you can also see the book cover reveal and the link to the video that Jamie and I videotaped will be in the newsletter also.
Mm-hmm. You're going to want to get Tina's book. It's about life without the New Testament. Can you even imagine? That's the world Angelica grows up in, and she's under law, not grace. And it's like a journey toward grace for her. So I really hope y'all will check it out.
Tina, would you give us the Cliff's Notes about what an ARC reader is, just in case somebody out there would like to read it but doesn't know what that means?
Well, ARC, A-R-C, stands for Advanced Reader Copy. So you get an advanced ebook, in my case, that you can read before it actually was released. And then you do that in exchange for an honest review.
Well, that's cool because people get to have it before anyone else does.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I hope that I have ARC readers for my book. I'll be seeking them out too. Not yet. I'm not ready. I'm not where Tina's at. Tina's ready to go.
I never thought I'd get here. Like, wow. I'm still in shock.
you know, it has been a journey for all of us. I mean, I am so excited about it. Just from the little part of the journey that I've shared, I cannot even imagine how you feel.
I know. So exhilarating.
And yep. Gigi said, Tina, awesome. Already saw it on Amazon. Yes, it is on Amazon for pre-order right now. And Barnes & Noble and Kobo. You can pre-order my ebook.
Great. Let me just make one comment to Maria. She mentioned something about Flint whales. I think she was missing the week that I brought up that Flint, Michigan was founded by people from Flint, New York. And those people came straight from Flint, Wales. So yes, we are direct descendants of, I mean, the name of the town anyway is. So
are we related? Maybe we're related.
Probably Maria's cousin is probably what we are.
Ooh, yeah. Wouldn't that be fun to find out? Ooh, Rhonda, there's your new genealogy task.
Okay.
Well, I'm probably not related because I was born in Pepsi Cola, Florida.
That's okay. If we go back far enough in the tree, we're all related. So yep. We'll just call you our sister anyway.
Yes, when I was a child, I could not pronounce Pensacola, so I called it Pepsi Cola. So.
Aww.
That's cute. All right. Can we start our topic today?
Yes, please? I'm sorry. I keep squirreling us.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. So our topic today, it's the second in our four-part series that we've got going of writing sprints and how you should sprint. So to recap, our very narrow definition of a sprint is you set a timer and you write without editing until the time is up. And we talked about why you should sprint on last week's episode. So, Tina?
Yes.
last week you talked about an article about developing a sprint habit. So
yes.
If you missed that episode, that's just last week. So it's easy to find. Episode 105, I believe. 106, I'm sorry.
Yes.
All right.
And we talked about why to sprint. We talked about you're getting your brain glowing. And there was this article from the New York Times. So you'll want to check that out if you missed it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this week we want to talk about how to sprint. So Jen is the one who really helped us put sprinting into practice when we started this group. So unfortunately, she can't be with us today. But we have memorized everything she has to say about sprinting. So we're going to jump into Jen's head and tell you what's inside there. So which of you ladies would like to describe the Pomodoro method?
Tina would.
Okay. Yep, I got it all down.
I'm like, not me. No, just kidding. I did not do my homework. No, just kidding. I do know that Pomodoro means tomato. That is my one Oh, did I ruin? Oh, I can't ruin it. Yeah. All right, go Tina.
Okay, no talking while the teacher.
Okay.
No, just kidding. So the Pomodoro technique is a time management method, and it was developed by Francesco Cirillo in the late 1980s, as you can tell, he's from Italy. And so the technique uses a timer to break work down into intervals with short breaks in between. And I keep hearing myself. It's very distracting. Traditionally, traditionally it's 25 minutes of work with a 5-minute break. And then you do 4 of those and then you take a 30-minute break. So that's traditionally what it was. And each interval was known as a pomodoro, from the Italian word for tomato, after the tomato-shaped kitchen timer that Cirillo used when he was working.
I also think of those tomato pin cushions. I do not know why. Yep. It's just interesting how tomatoes are just in kitchens. Like, how interesting.
Yeah.
As timers, and then they're in, like, the woman's sewing place as a pin cushion. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, very interesting. And we do 20 minutes. But I thought it was fascinating when I looked up, I did do my homework, and the Pomodoro technique was really for productivity in general, not necessarily for just writing sprints. So it's actually a life management technique. And a lot of people already do this maybe without realizing. If you're the kind of person that just does 10 minutes of intense house cleaning and then you take a little break, then you kind of already understand the benefits of a Pomodoro way of working. What you might want to be very clear with yourself about, though, is a couple of things. You never interrupt yourself on a Pomodoro task. No interruptions are allowed. We always joke that you put a sign on the door, if you're not on fire, don't interrupt mommy. during a writing sprint, right? Which means if you have a baby, you got to wait till the baby's sleeping because you don't want interruptions during a Pomodoro technique sprint because you want to be focused on your job. And then you want to make sure you honor the breaks. Whatever your 10 minutes or whatever your break time is, you must get up and move around and get your mind off of the work and doing other, because this is how you are effective without feeling stifled, in my opinion, for the work to do what it can do for you.
Is there any other reason that you want to be scheduled like that? I mean, does it like do some chemicals in your brain or anything?
That's a really good question. I only ever did it because it was a way for me to get the brain glowing results that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, if you want a six pack, you do sit-ups. It was for me like a targeted exercise for those set of muscles. Mm-hmm. So I never really thought about a sprint in any other beneficial way. Maybe people in our chat know another reason you would want to stick to Pomodoro. Tina, do you have specific reasons?
I don't really. I mean, I just know that it works. Mm-hmm. And I use it a lot of places.
I'm wondering if with the whole brain glowing, if it sort of works along with your dopamine or something, some sort of a cycle. I'm going to have to research that. I will get back with you on that.
I would love it if you would, because I would imagine that it really is something to it. Because, and even Jennifer saying in the chat, the breaks are so important. I think that's true, because then, especially if you don't want to stop, when the Pomodoro timer goes off and you want to keep working, it's especially important to stop then. Why? Because then you'll be hungry to get back for that next writing mm-hmm. session. If you ignore your breaks, you're not going to be capitalizing on the momentum that you could be building up, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I mean, it seems counterintuitive to put in a break to build momentum, but that's how it works for whatever reason. And then yep. I believe you get sort of trained in like a Pavlovian way. I don't know what you think about Pavlov, but you kind of hear 3, 2, 1, go enough times or whatever your routine is that you do as a sprint. And you're like, time to write. And your brain goes into sprint mode. Am I wrong, ladies? Or do you recognize that as well?
I recognize that for sure.
Yes, I do. Tina, do you use it any other ways besides just writing?
Oh, yeah. So sometimes when my arthritis is really kicking up, I have trouble doing the dishes because I have to bend just the right amount that really makes my hips ache. Mm. And so if the job feels too overwhelming or too big to me, I will do that. I'll do a Pomodoro. And my mm-hmm. husband's like looking at me funny, but I'll set a timer and then I'll go. And then sit down and during the breaks and then go back mm-hmm. in. And you would be amazed how many dishes you can wash in 20 minutes. It usually takes me 2 times. But and I've started using, I have a job that's extremely boring. I work online and it's very monotonous. And so I've started doing it with my job too. Stopping after 20 minutes and mm-hmm. taking a break.
Yeah. Rhonda and Tina, there's a whole bunch of chat. You guys want to check in over there and see what's up?
Sure.
While she's doing that. Oh, sprinting for cleaning. Yep.
Yes, for sure.
And then she said it really works with her kids. She gives them a fun break after 25 minutes and it's really mm-hmm. productive.
Oh yeah. I call that a cookie. You give yourself a cookie. It doesn't have to be yeah. a literal cookie, but whatever could happen mm-hmm. in that break, you know?
Right.
Yep. That is exactly what I was going to bring up next. That was my first experience with this type of technique. And she's so right. The first time I got up.
Rhonda, read it out loud so we know what
okay.
you mean.
Piper Dow said that Fly Lady used to recommend 15 minutes for cleaning and that you can do anything for 15 minutes. And that was the whole thing. Anything for 15 minutes?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You watch me unclutter this drawer for 15 minutes and tell me I can do it. Oh, wait. 15 minutes is already over? Oh, wait. My drawer's clean? Holy cow. You're right.
Yes. And it's so nice, isn't it? To have something so accomplished in just such a short amount of time. It's right. really, really a delight.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Gigi says if she sits and stares at her screen too long, she becomes less productive. That's right. That's mm-hmm. why the breaks are important. Mm-hmm. And that's why breaking your workday up is so beneficial. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, when a 9-to-5er person, they have coffee breaks. Some of them have smoke breaks, whatever. But they get up and get away from their desk for a few minutes for a reason. Because people who run workplaces like that understand the benefit of taking a break once in a while.
So Gigi says she'll work for cookies. Good to know. Good to know.
I'm with you. All right. So when I sprint, how long do you guys like to do it for? The reason I ask is because I've noticed that I use different sprint lengths for different reasons. For instance, if I'm trying to get an idea out, 15 minutes is perfect for me because I don't have time. I'm trying to get my ideas down and I don't have time to really edit. Now, if I'm trying to just get some work done, I'll go back to that same sprint and then work on that for 25 minutes. And then take my 5 minute break. But it's not, the longer ones for me don't produce the best ideas. It's the shorter ones.
So that's interesting.
How does it work for you guys?
How does it work for you, Tina?
Yeah, for me personally, the 15 minute sprint always seems too short. And if I go 20 or 25 minutes, my word count increases exponentially.
Me too.
Like it seems like it seems like if you broke it down into 5 minute segments, that I'd only be able to have like the 5 minutes worth more words than a 15 minute sprint. But it's not like that. Like I can write double in 20 minutes that I can write in 15. It's really crazy.
I find that I tend to adapt. We do 20 minutes on the podcast and I sort of have learned what I can do. Like today really surprised me because I thought I had a lot more time on the timer that I did, but I sort of like prefer a longer sprint only because then I typically do have time to go back and proofread my work now at the place where I'm at with my sprinting. But like Tina said, 15 minutes seems so short.
And by the way, we sprint 15 minutes on the podcast.
Oh.
And 20 minutes in office hours.
Righto. I don't even know what I just said. So you take it all and fix it.
That's okay. I just don't want anyone to be confused. I think, wait, we had 20 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's the office hours where you do the 20.
Okay. You had some chats up or some of the chat.
Well, I just had Piper's where she said she sprints with other writers on Facebook on a Facebook page. One person calls the start and stop and everyone puts in their totals. The sprint tends to be 20 minutes with a 10 minute break.
Yeah. That's a nice way to schedule it because then you end on the half hours, right? And people know they can jump in right on a half hour and they should be ready to sprint. Right. We like that.
So Jennifer says she can get 200 words in 15 minutes and over 600 when she sprints 25 minutes.
Yes, so Jennifer, thank you for adding that to our conversation. Yeah, but she's right. Yes, I agree with you, Tina. It's exponential, just like you said.
So Shell says, I think short bursts of work is one of the reasons CrossFit is so popular. I can totally work out for 15 minutes rather than an hour on the elliptical.
Oh, yeah. Like, didn't Curves do that? Wasn't that what Curves was all about? Where you would go to this machine and then you would go to that machine and they would only keep you on there for just a little bit of time?
Yeah. And they have one of those too at Planet Fitness. They have like a section that's set off where you like has interval on these machines.
So I think it's very much a your mileage may vary sort of a thing. Wouldn't you say, Rhonda? Because like you said, you need different sprint times for different purposes in your career. But some people just need to know they're going to have that 20 minutes and mark it set go.
Right. Right. Okay. Do we really have much more to say about this topic?
I don't think so.
I think we've had some very valuable nuggets here today.
I think so too.
So is everybody ready to move on to what we did sprint today?
I did think about saying this earlier, but Jennifer brought up that we switched from 25 to 20 minutes in office hours because we wanted the extra 5 minutes to chat during our breaks. So that's why.
This is true. This is true. The shenanigans are part of the reason why we even show up. Yes. Because we like our coworkers. I appreciate you ladies for being there in the mornings because that's what makes me show up. And that's the ideal of getting some other people to sprint with you, because if you're all getting together to do the same thing, it really makes it seem like, hey, you know, someone's going to care if I don't show up, which can really make you get it done. So find a buddy to sprint with if you can. And make sure you're sprinting on Fridays with us. We're usually sprinting at some time in the 9 o'clock hour. I go live when I do my sprint on Friday. But, you know, we're all sprinting too Friday mornings, if that motivates you.
That's right.
That's a great segue.
Yeah, it was. So you want to hear them now?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's hear Sprint.
I want to hear Tina's first today.
All right.
Okay. The prompt was, if only the directions had been more clear.
Mm.
And the directions were not really clear whether that was a sentence or a title. So, You get what you get.
Yep.
Okay. Yvonne put the pot on the burner and turned it on high. Then she went into the pantry and rummaged through the boxes of pasta. Macaroni, farfalle, rigatoni, fettuccine. Yvonne grabbed the manicotti and the acina di pepe and began to dance to the music that popped into her head at the sounds of the pasta names.
Nice.
She was suddenly in Venezia on the Castello Sestieri, across from the great basilica, and the three-man band with violins and an accordion serenaded her as she danced. Mm. When it occurred to her that she was meant to be making dinner, she replaced the boxes on the shelf and grabbed the spaghetti. She did a little shuffle dance back into the kitchen, shutting the window once she got there, because of the strange construction smell that seemed to have invaded while she was dancing in Venice. Funny, the smell had brought smoke in the window with it and was hovering around the ceiling fan. She flipped the switch and dust bunnies flew from the blades, landing in her hair, on the floor, on the cabinet, and in the pot on the stove.
No!
Who puts a ceiling fan in a kitchen anyway? The smoke hadn't come from the window, she suddenly realized. It was coming from the pot. She ran over to the stove and grabbed the pot. Intense pain shot its signal from her fingers to her brain, but it was too slow. By the time she let go, her fingers were damaged and the pot went flying across the floor, leaving strange little burn marks in the linoleum. Yvonne couldn't think. She stared at her blistering fingers, frozen in place. Her husband ran into the room. What's going on? He saw her hand, pushed her toward the sink, and turned on the cold water, holding her hand under it. I don't know. I just went into the pantry to get some spaghetti, and when I came out, the pot was smoking. Did you forget to put water in it again? He asked, his tone partly sympathetic and partly annoyed. Oh, no, I did forget. I always forget. If only the directions were more clear.
Oh.
Her husband picked up the box of spaghetti, turning it to the side with the directions and read, bring 2 quarts of water to a boil. You're right, he said. They are really unclear. It says nothing about a pot here.
I love that. Is that finished?
That's it.
It's finished for sure. That's why it was so good, Tina. It was so entertaining.
It was. The husband, oh my word. Reading the directions to her, that's just so typical.
And I love the song that she made of the pasta names, because you even read it in like a sing-songy way. And you that's totally how my brain works. Tina, you got in my head somehow. Yeah. I don't know.
That happens to me every time I open the cupboard, the pasta cupboard.
Oh.
I have all these different kind of pasta.
You're spilling all those exact pasta tone. Names. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's in my head. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so great. I've got to say, though, this was a little bit, I feel attacked, because with this new writing newsletter and stuff that I'm doing, I'm very focused on my work lately, but my husband has also come home from off the road. So once upon a time, like, I didn't have to worry about stuff like a daily dinner. And I have left the stove like smoking away on more than one occasion recently. And my 14-year-old daughter is totally worried about me. She's like, Mom, you keep leaving the stove on. I'm like, I'm sorry. So now all my kids have to keep coming and checking, because I'm not used to having to like always have dinner cooked. Like, I cook kind of when I feel like it and we all just eat out of the pot, but not now that husband comes home. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm not used to being so regimented. Does that make sense?
Blah. Yes.
So anyway, yes, I feel attacked, low key, but very good story.
Jennifer, I must feel attacked too, because she said Yvonne.
Yeah.
Were you thinking of me?
Yeah. That's what I thought of as soon as you said it. Did you say it the way Jen likes it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's funny. All right, Jamie, let's hear from you.
All righty. He had only been to IKEA once. It was to buy that ill-fated bookcase, the one upon which a stack of novels sat, waiting to be read, until the day he left, as it turns out, with nary a mote of dust disturbed on the slick, glossy covers. He wondered now about the fate of the other objects in that rented room, the refrigerator with the slow leak, the stove with only 3 working burners. He wondered if they stood like sentries watching over the comings and goings of new tenants, or if they, like the bookcase, had met a sad end. Could have got a nice bit of money for that fridge at the scrapyard, he mused, then cursed as he realized he'd said the words out loud, at least according to the raised brows of the lady in fancy shoes having coffee with her red-faced girlfriend at the counter. He picked up his fork and shoved the hash browns around on his plate, but his appetite was gone now, spoiled like that old bookcase. He'd left it for her, this first thing they'd ever purchased together. He remembered making the decision to do so as intentionally as he had made the decision to propose all those tumultuous years ago, and she had put it to the curb. He remembered seeing it for the first time in a mid-November drizzle as he drove past, only 3 months after he'd moved out, and only 2 days after the new orange Chevy started parking overnights in her driveway. He'd driven by to see it, the nightstand, not the Chevy, though its monstrous form in the driveway looked every bit the Challenger. Every day thereafter, knowing on Wednesday morning, the trash collection made its weekly rounds. More than once, he thought about picking it up. Only once, on Monday night, he'd stopped. 3, 2, 1.
Wow. And you are so worried about, I don't know what I'm going to write.
I had no idea. I was so panicked. I always feel like I'm going to throw up before I have to sprint. Like live like that.
that's amazing. If I could write like you, I would never be nauseous before I did it.
Oh, I appreciate that. I did not know what was going to happen.
Yeah. It was so good. Like I kept having to make myself listen because I would get stuck on something you said.
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, not yes. that I didn't want to listen, but like, I was stuck on the ill-fated bookcase for quite a few minutes. I was like, oh, yeah, she's still talking.
I was too. And with the books with the dust that wasn't disturbed, I can't remember how you worded that, but I pictured it. I was like, dust oh, wait, I got to keep listening. Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate everybody's positive reactions because it's, you never know what you're going to get. So, yay, it was a hit today.
Yeah, that's the kind of story that when you're reading it with all its words on the page, you like pause. And then you go back and read that section again because it was so good because you want to like get all of it before you move on.
I appreciate that. Thanks, you guys. Yay. Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, my back is well fed. What did you write today, Miss Rhonda? Oh, wait. Gigi's got something. Always something nice to say from Gigi.
Yep. What a powerful story. Your characters were so real. You were such a storyteller to get to. I get lost in your...
Aww,
I'm trying to read it on the video screen instead of over here where it's big. I don't know what my problem is.
Gigi is an amazing encourager. Thank you, Gigi. That's so awesome. And
Shell said, so heartbreaking, so much emotion.
Thanks, Shell. That means a lot. And
Jennifer said, so good.
Oh, thanks, Jen. Said,
wow, Jamie.
Aw, thanks, Jen.
Tina, Jennifer said she loved the sarcastic hubby.
Oh, yes.
It was a real life thing.
Do you want him?
Free shipping.
I got my hands full. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. She's got a broken one on her hands. And you say, get back up to snuff.
Yeah. All right. So I'll go ahead and read mine then.
All right.
I didn't know what I was going to write either, but all I could think about was Winnie the Pooh and his buddies.
We were talking about Winnie the Pooh before we went live, in case anyone's wondering.
But they didn't make it in here, but that's all I could think of. And I can't. All right, here I go. Mandy marched to the table in full pomp and circumstance, holding the pie before her as if it were a jeweled crown on a velvet cushion. She had created a beautiful dessert to complete the first meal made in her new home. As she laid the pie in the center of the table, she blushed at the gasp her mother couldn't hide and delighted in the look of joy in Alan's face. He was the one she wanted to impress. Mandy, the meringue is absolutely perfect. All the tips are perfectly brown, Alice squealed. Mandy's smile grew larger, imagining her best friend picking all the baked tips off the meringue like she's been known to do. That's high praise, and Mandy was reveling in it and all the other little comments being made around the table. She presented Alan a knife as if it were a sword and the pie was being knighted. He brandished it coyly for a second, smiling at Mandy and letting his eyes linger on her face a few precious seconds before turning back to the pie. My favorite dessert, and you made it from scratch, he said. Wow, what a woman. He plunged the knife into the center of the pie, and it drew a line. and then another. He glanced at Mandy questioningly for just a split second. He made another slice and then tried to slide the spatula under. The end.
No! No!
Basically.
Is it a dud? Did it turn out a dud?
Basically, she thought a pie crust was just like flour and egg or something and just threw it together, thought she could wing it, and it was terrible. But the meringue was nice.
I love that story because it's about appearances don't always matter. Am I wrong?
You are so right. So right.
You are like so good with these themes through character, right? Like you always sort of have like this moral, but it's because of what your characters are doing that the moral comes through. Like you don't shove it in people's face. It's really, really masterful what you do with character work, Rhonda.
Thank you.
And I'm salivating. And then like it's a disappointment.
Yeah. Honestly, when I was a kid, I could have been fine with the meringue and everybody else could have had the rest of the pie. I just love the meringue. And those little brown tips, that was me as a kid.
Yes,
I'm a crust girl.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I made homemade chicken pot pie last night. And I was over there picking the edges. You know how they edge some when you make homemade crust?
Mm-hmm.
It sometimes like comes over the edge. So I was over there.
Oh, yummy.
Eating all those really dark, crusty pieces.
Yeah. Mm. And when the gravy bubbles out on it, and it's like, oh, yeah. So good.
I'm so hungry. Why do we do this podcast before lunch? I guess because after lunch, we'd all be comatose.
Yeah.
So we have to be hungry to do the podcast. So we get our cookie after, right?
Yes, that's right.
I get to have a cookie.
We'll give you one of those, whatever those bars you're reading. Okay, I'm squirreling us. So we still have to hear Tina's story, right?
No, I read my first.
Pasta.
Wow, that's right. Wow. Okay, great.
So hopefully maybe Jen will post hers on the Christian Indie Writers Facebook page, or maybe she'll tweet it or any way to share that with
Jen.
Us and everybody else's too.
Yeah, if you all sprint, share it with us so we can read it because we like to see them. Meanwhile, Rhonda's got some compliments in the chat. I know she won't mention if we don't bring it up. Shell said, great, Rhonda. I love the crown and the sword imagery too. I love that knighting. Aww, yes, that was very playful. It showed a lot about that relationship. Jennifer Carl Tong says, now I want pie. We all want pie. Mm, I especially would love some lemon pie. Mm. Gigi says, Rhonda, I loved it. I want pie now. Yep. Your characters just jump off the page. Did not want it to end. So true. And Jen also said, great characterization, Rhonda. And we do seem to write an awful lot about food. I think we know what we're all thinking about during the podcast. Lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, during the podcast, right.
She'll try to write one when she has time. So
that'd be good.
Sprint with us this morning because she's got more important things on her plate.
Absolutely.
I guess. All right. So let's talk about, we've already talked about our what's up. So let's talk about our what's next now. So Jamie, what are you doing next?
Well, I am not quitting writing forever and running away to join the circus.
Oh, good.
That's all
well,
good news.
That was completely on the table this weekend. Let me just tell you. Remember how I said to Maria, like, I totally feel your pain about all these little struggles. It's just like, look, if I never did a newsletter and I never promoted to anybody, I will still have a novel that I am in love with at the end of this whole thing. Because all I've promised myself is to write a novel. It's making me crazy, but it's okay. It's okay. Everything's going to be fine. I've just decided I'm not going to run ads right now. I don't need to be thinking about ads right now. I'm going to focus on building my newsletter subscriber list one thing at a time. I don't need to become an expert at everything right now, right? So I'm focusing on building that newsletter because wisdom of the ages, you know how they always say the proverbial they say a newsletter is essential, and I'm going to believe them because they're the experts. So I'm going to grow my newsletter. And if you guys who are listening and you ladies in the podcast can help me and just share writingshorts.net, a pop-up comes right up and then people will join my newsletter. And it's good for them too, because my book and The Mom Ran Away from the Moon, I'm giving them that for free if they sign up for my newsletter. So if anybody feels like doing me a solid, if you like what I write on the podcast, like if you like the story I wrote today, you can get that same kind of writing sent to your email. I'm going to have a free short story for you at least once a month. And these are going to be $2.99 regular on Amazon, but I'm going to give them free to anybody who's a subscriber to my newsletter. So if you guys would just share around, I'd really appreciate that. It's just writingshorts.net. It's not hard to remember.
Okay. And Jennifer says that her what's next update, the doctors are ordering more tests.
Oh,
we
no.
We aren't getting out of here.
Oh, no.
We heard just the podcast. Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. Prayers appreciated for wisdom and guidance for our docs.
Oh, for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely, absolutely for sure. Praying mm-hmm. for Randy and for Jennifer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. to get some yep. sleep. Because when you have a loved one in the hospital, sometimes it's hard even to remember to eat and sleep. So we hope you're taking care of yourself, Jen.
Yeah. Well, I know the hospital you're at, Jen, is one of the best in the area for him. So for that. Okay, Tina. Right, but,
well, why don't you go next, Rhonda, and then I'll finish us up at the end.
Okay. My what's next is making sure I don't have any more duties for our sprint book. And then my mom and I are moving on to our romance version of our own workbook. And so we have our base plotting your novel with this workbook. And then we have our cozy mystery version. And so now we're working on our romance version. So
nice.
Yep. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to do that. So that is probably the major thing. That and really getting a handle on social media.
Oh, yeah. That's where you're going to focus. Like how I said, my newsletter, you're kind of doing social media right now.
Yep. And then after that, it'll be the newsletter. So those are my challenges coming up.
So you're going to start a newsletter after you're done doing.
After you work out all the bugs and figure out all the problems, you can tell me exactly what to do so I can just go. Boop, boop, boop.
I'm the guinea pig. Jen was actually guinea pig number one. And then I'm in her little shadow. That's what newsletter chat is all about. She's kind of helping me limp along. This week on newsletter chat, we're going to learn how to put the pop-up on my Facebook page. So that when people come to my Facebook page, JR Nichols, it'll pop up and say, join my newsletter. So if you guys don't know how to do that, make sure you tune in Tuesday because Jen's going to teach me that.
I'll be there.
Yay!
Okay, Tina, I am hanging on a thread to find out what's next is.
Yes.
Well, like I said, my newsletter that I'm sending out tomorrow, I'm going to be revealing my book cover and sharing the link that you can watch the unboxing video. It's not anything professional. It was a little awkward, but I can never seem to put things in front of the camera. Like I go off to the side. It's really weird. Anyway, you can sign up for that at ChristinaContain.com. My book is over. Up on pre-order on Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble. And so now I have, well, as soon as I get the interior back, I'm going to send out my ARC reader copies. And then I have to work on my website because my website is pre-book being done. And I have to change it around to post.
Oh, yes. Done. Oh, yes.
So I got some work to do there. My pop-up just says sign up for my newsletter. It doesn't say anything about getting the book for free when you sign up. So,
yes, because writing a book is more than just fingers to keyboard, isn't it? Yeah. And here on the podcast, we're here to help you throughout the whole journey. So if you have any questions about anything you hear us talking about, like, what does that mean? Send us a message because we need to know what topics to discuss on the podcast. So if you don't know what Kobo is or you don't know how to format the interior of your book like you hear us talking about doing, reach out. We'll be willing to help you or connect you with someone who has the answers. And we'd also be willing to do an episode about that if there's enough interest. Right, ladies?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Enough squirreling from me. What's next?
What's next is that's it. That's it for our topic.
There's no Jen.
I know.
It feels like something is incomplete.
Yes.
And we're done way early because there's no Jen. She didn't get to read her sprint and share her what's up and what's next. So that's the time that's missing. We miss you, Jen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I guess we're just going to. Oh.
I'll be back.
And I guess we can just have a shorter episode today, I would say.
Yes. Yeah. I want everybody to know that I tried to share Jamie's newsletter link in our chat, and I did not realize you couldn't do that. So we will put it on our Facebook page, and maybe we'll tweet it. Maybe we'll Instagram it. We will put it all over the place so everybody can find it easily.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thanks, Rhonda.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yep. All right.
Okay. So yes, I need to comment on Jen's comment. She's saying, so you're saying I complete you. That is 100% correct. We are trying to
really, I mean,
we're
it was
three
really,
quarters of a person.
Yes, absolutely. Keystone
I
cops.
I do have two heads though. I enjoy that. Why can't
two
I
heads are better head? Than one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, I guess this concludes the Christian Indie Writers podcast then. So until next week, may your pen be prolific. May your deadlines be met, and may all of your words honor Christ.
Bye.
Bye.